Thank you, Dr. Kenworthy. Hi, everyone. I'm Jenny Kimball, and I'm going to be talking to you today about some different aspects of a freezing protocol that I've been working on for St. Augustine grass. A little bit about St. Augustine grass. It's a warm season turf grass that's commonly grown in the southern United States and also the lower limits of the transition zone. It's propagated mainly vegetatively using stolons, so it's a pretty important player in the sod industry. When we compare it to other turf grasses, it has excellent shade tolerance, okay drought tolerance, and it's relatively low input. So we feel like this is a pretty good grass for homeowners as well as municipalities. However, one of the big problems in St. Augustine grass, at least for us in North Carolina, is it really does not have good winter hardiness. So we do see a large range of winter survivability in North Carolina, as you can see on the pictures on the left, with a majority of the cultivars falling in those bottom three pictures. We do have one really good cold-tolerant cultivar, Raleigh, which was released actually by NC State in the 1980s, and it's still considered the industry standard in cold tolerance for St. Augustine grass, but obviously we still do need some more cold-tolerant varieties. Another problem that we have in North Carolina is since we're in the transition zone, we get really variable winters. You can see these two pictures on the right. One is after a 2011-2012 winter. It was really mild, and I didn't get any winter kill. This is a mapping population for cold tolerance. And then 2014, we had a really harsh winter, and I lost about 85% of my plots for my mapping population. It was pretty devastating. So we felt in the lab that for us, we needed to develop a lab-based freezing protocol to evaluate our lines. So some of the initial work we did, we chose a rolls freezing method. So basically we would take the stolon and we would roll it up and put it in ice and then freeze it and then plant it out. Two of the important things that we found from this study was that temperature was really key for cultivar separation, and also that the St. Augustine grass actually does acclimate and it has a big impact on survival of these plants. However, there were some problems. We did damage the plants pre and post freezing, so we weren't sure what kind of impact that was having on the survival of the plants. Nodal positions of the stolons actually did matter. So the mid nodes on the stolon actually survived significantly better than the nodes on the outer regions. And also, in order to get enough stolons for these tests, we had to grow the plants in these really big trays in the greenhouse. So it just wasn't logistically feasible in terms of greenhouse space to do, say, for example, a really large mapping population. So part of my PhD thesis was to develop a freezing protocol to address some of these issues, as well as make sure that the test was mimicking field winter stress. In order to do that, I had to identify a freezing temperature that basically gave me good separation of my genotypes. We also wanted to further evaluate the response of St. Augustine grass to cold acclimation. And then lastly, I needed to find a good evaluation method to monitor the survival and recovery of St. Augustine grass. So in order to do that, I chose 9 St. Augustine grass genotypes that represented they were a good representation of the diversity of freezing tolerance that we find in St. Augustine grass. I chose to do whole pot containers. There was no injury pre or post freezing. They were all propagated around the same time, so they hopefully were of a similar age to minimize that effect of age that we saw in the rolls method. And also, we had enough greenhouse space for this method. For treatments, I cold acclimated the plants for 1 week at 13 degrees and then moved them into a 3-degree chamber for another week before freezing. I had a control of non-acclimated plants, and I had 3 replications per treatment. Now, for freezing, since I was now working with plants in soil, one of the things you have to be aware of when you're doing these freezing tests is that as water is freezing in the soil, it's producing friction, and that friction is releasing heat. So there's a period where the soil is just maintaining a constant temperature of 0. So I had to run some tests to determine how long it would take for all of the water in the soil to freeze, and it was about 25 hours. Once I determined that, I could move on with my freezing tests, and I used 4 temperatures, -3, -4, -5, and -6. And there were 2 runs per temperature. So I also did 2 different types of evaluation methods. I used visual ratings for freezing injury and for recovery on a 0 to 5 scale. The ratings were taken 1 day after freezing and then once a week for 6 weeks. I also took pictures, and these pictures were taken 1 day post-freeze and then also once every 2 weeks for 6 weeks. And I used SigmaScan Pro 5 to determine the percent green color of these pictures. So now under results, just for time constraints, I'm only going to be talking about recovery, and specifically when I'm not talking about the repeated measures, usually just week 6 recovery. So just a quick show of the ANOVA table. We have the main effects. Most of them were significant except for block, and then there were some two-way interactions that were significant, and I'm going to try to cover all of them today, and there were no three-way interactions that were significant. So now when we look at, I first want to look at temperature. Temperature had a significant impact on freezing injury and recovery. This graph, the recovery is on the y-axis, and then we have the weeks on the x-axis, and the bottom two, the red and the blue, are -5 and -6. So most of the plants died. We didn't really see a lot of recovery, so we didn't have very good variability between genotypes. -3, -4 are the green and the purple, and we saw good response variances and good variability. So it seems like -3 and -4 are the temperatures that we want to go after, with -4 applying a harsher selection pressure. When we look at cultivar recovery and compare it to some field studies, they're following the trends pretty well, except for palmetto did significantly worse in our freezing test, and Seville cold acclimated did much better in our freezing tests. We also see here in this graph, there's recovery again on the Y and then weeks on the X. Sorry, I can't get this mouse to move. And what we're starting to see is there's 3 main groups. There's this group up here, which is Raleigh, GF2, and 106, SVT3. It's some of the more cold-tolerant genotypes. And then there's this mid-range group, and then Floratam's at the bottom. So I just ran a quick PCA and also put up some mean separations, and these groups are significantly different from one another. So if we further look at acclimation treatments, all of the plants except for genotypes, excuse me, except for Floratam and Sapphire responded very well to cold acclimation. And then Seville, GF2, 106, SVT3, and Raleigh were significantly different between the acclimation treatments. Okay, so now if we look at recovery response over 6 weeks, again, the y-axis is recovery, the x-axis is the genotypes, and then this axis here is the weeks. And you can see here at week 3, these green bars, the cold-tolerant genotypes, which are on the left, are actually already separating from some of the more cold-susceptible genotypes. So it seems like we can stop evaluating after 3 weeks. And if you go further on to week 6, you just get continued increased genotype separation. And I ran some correlations between the different weeks, and they were really high, so that was good as well. So now if we look at the digital imaging analysis, I just put an example up here of some of the pictures over the 6-week period. I used Seville because that had a really, there was a really strong acclimation effect in Seville. I ran some Pearson correlations, and between the digital and visual ratings, they were really high for weeks 2, 4, and 6. And also just here, I put the LS means rankings between the 2 different evaluation methods, and they're pretty much the same except for some clips here. So big picture, this freezing methodology seems adequate for what we want to use it for. We're going to be moving forward and using it for our future crosses. And also, one of the things that I'm really happy with this study is I think if you're a scientist today and you're working on freezing tolerance in St. Augustine grass, this study provides you with a lot of options. First, temperature, -5 and -6 were a little bit too harsh selection pressure. -3 and -4 were suitable. So you can choose your temperature depending on what type of selection pressure you want to apply. Next is cold acclimation, which did have a significant impact on recovery, but it was dependent upon your cultivar. So Floritam and Sapphire did not acclimate at all, and then something like Seville, there was a really, really strong cold acclimation effect. So for your evaluation methods, both visual ratings and digital image analysis, worked adequately well, but so with visual ratings, you have to be careful who's taking the ratings. You have to be consistent. And then also, it obviously takes more time to take digital pictures than visual ratings. And then lastly, evaluation time. It seems like we can stop after 3 weeks. And if you want to continue on to 6 weeks, you can just increase the separation between your genotypes. So lastly, I just want to talk about a little bit of the current work that we're doing. I'm validating this protocol using a mapping population geared towards cold tolerance. We're adapting the protocol for other worm season turfgrass species. And then lastly, I'm working on deacclimation tests. So it's this idea that in the late winter or early spring, you get these warm spikes in temperature. And do cultivars respond differently to this? Do they deacclimate really quickly? For those of you in the room who know your St. Augustine grass cultivar, Seville, I've been talking a lot about its good cold acclimation ability. It's actually really, really cold susceptible. It does not do well in the field at all. So my preliminary results have shown that actually Seville deacclimates very, very quickly. So when you look at a deacclimated plant after freezing, it's as if it's never been cold acclimated. And honestly, when you go to your advisor and you tell her that cold acclimated Seville is doing as well as Raleigh in freezing tests, it's a little terrifying. So I'm happy that the deacclimation test has seemed to solve a little bit of this mystery. And it also speaks to the complexity of winter hardiness and cold tolerance and how just adding another layer like deacclimation can really help you understand what's going on with the trait. So thank you, and I guess I went through that pretty quickly, so I guess I have time for questions.
Time for questions.
Paul. What advice would you give your advisor as a breeder in terms of utilizing cold tolerance or the ability to acclimate in a variety of ways in soils?
Okay, so the question was, what advice would I give my advisor for using
this type of a trait, this acclimation trait, in a breeding program?
Like cold, so using cold acclimation. Again, like I said, you really have to know your cultivar. So, you know, something like Seville, if you're going to just use cold acclimation in your freezing test, you might not see the whole picture. We might think that Seville does really, really well and has really, really good cold tolerance. So I would always use the control of non-acclimated as well.
Yeah. My question really is that a useful trait to breed for?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if we could kind of remove the deacclimation that we're seeing in Seville, it would be a great, great cultivar for North Carolina because it acclimates so well. It performs just as well as Raleigh when it's cold acclimated.
Usually quick to acclimate is also quick to
de-acclimate. Well, in Raleigh, though, we're seeing significant cold acclimation effects, but it doesn't de-acclimate quickly at all. It's doing really well. And the same with GF2 and 106, some of the other cold tolerant genotypes. Oh, hi. I don't think so because, and I did look at some of the morphology, and so for instance, Floritam has really big internodes, and so does Raleigh. And Raleigh is one of the most cold tolerant, and Floritam is one of the least cold tolerant. So, I mean, and what I was finding was that my results were following most of the field studies that we've seen. So I hope not.
Right.
Oh, so the question was why I chose that cold acclimation time, and actually there is a paper out of Dr. Amelia Lewis's lab where we look at different acclimation times, and we found that 13 and then 3 degrees provided the best cultivar separation for us. So our goal is just to find a good protocol where we can mimic field evaluations.
Let's thank our speaker.
Okay. Thanks, guys.